Joining us on this morning's programme is Patricia Rowe, who is a guidance counsellor, also writes in the Sunday Business Post on education matters and has attended many international seminars on said subject. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Now, Patricia, proposed changes to the junior certificate and to wit, we're talking about the use of digital technology.
Yes.
Whither goeth we, so to speak?
Well, that's a very big question. Well, I think that, you know, it's interesting to look at where the, well, from where the people who are proposing, and it's now going to happen, the new junior cert are coming from. And what they seem to be saying is, not in just so many words, but what they seem to be saying is, look, there's a vast amount of knowledge out there. You know, we're in what I suppose you could call the cliche of the digital age. In other words, information is instantly accessible to everybody. And how are we going to cope with that? And what they seem to be doing is to say the teacher for the junior cert is no longer going to be the source of information and knowledge, but somebody who facilitates and directs a student in their learning.
Right.
And the emphasis in the junior cert seems to be about key skills. There are six key skills which they emphasize. And they are right across, they are to be embedded in every subject, and every teacher who teaches is to be aware of these key skills. And before I tell you what they are, I think it's interesting to look at a survey which came out a couple of months ago. It was the Graduate Recruitment Trend Survey in 2012. And they went and asked employers what were employers looking for from graduates. And they said that the key skills that they were looking for in terms of soft skills are communication, particularly written communication, interpersonal, being able to cope with online and social media and so on, motivation, having good analytical skills, being able to manage their own learning, and problem solving. Now, that's what they're looking for in somebody who's going into work. So it's interesting, motivation, analytical skills, managing one's own learning and problem solving.
Right.
Then we go on back and look at something that the employers would have had little interest in at that stage, given what they were being asked. Look at the key skills of the junior cert. You find they are managing information and thinking, working with others, communicating in all forms, managing myself, excuse me, I seem to have a frog in my throat, staying well and being creative. Now, there's a lot of synergy between the two sets of requirements, the key skills for the junior cert,
right,
and what people are looking for from somebody who's going into the workforce.
Right.
So,
Patricia, if I could just cut across you there,
yeah,
for a moment. They all seem to be very aspirational. But
yes,
a lot of those things you cannot teach.
Well, I think what they're doing is they're trying to create a new learning atmosphere where people will actually use those skills. But I think your thinking is very close to my own, in the sense that, you know, the question arises, will you be able to get the best out of this new curriculum if you don't already bring to the table, to the learning spot, to the classroom, a certain amount of fundamental resources, you know, that you would need to have a certain development of linguistic skills. You'd certainly need to be able to have a small amount of being able to cope with self-directed learning. And I'm asking, I suppose, the age-old question, are we starting in the right place? You know, should we be going back to when somebody is starting to learn? Now, people who are involved in early learning education and people who are involved in teaching the four, fives and sixes will say, yes, you know, compared to what all adults can remember from their school days, there have been changes in how young people are being taught. And if you think about, you know, any time you see photographs of primary schools and you go into the classroom, you see children all around a table. You don't see them facing the teacher. So it is, I suppose, fair to say that young people have had some exposure to the kinds of learning that are going to be coming into the junior cert. But the question, there's one big thing that does concern me. In the last 10 years in second level, we have addressed certain needs, and I can point to three of them and then add in something else. We've addressed the needs, the linguistic needs of newcomer students into the country, so that we made great efforts to make sure that somebody who doesn't know English within a number of months, certainly within a year, is able to actually understand what's going on around them in the classroom. We've also put in extra resources for people who have learning difficulties, so that children have learning supports and they have what are locally known by, you know, as SENs, that is people who actually go with them from classroom to classroom and sit in the room with them and help them and support the teacher in the learning that goes on. And we've also done a huge amount of work to integrate people with physical and mental challenges, so that they're not put in special schools, but they're integrated into the community and they learn with everybody else. Now, they're three major achievements. And we've also had, you know, guidance counsellors working to support students who need to sit down and explore their emotional well-being. Now, with the cuts, those resources have been stripped away.
Right.
And now we're putting in a new way of teaching. And that new way of teaching, when you add to it that I saw that in the next couple of years, we're going to have thousands of extra students in the system. And yet we're sucking finance out, and I'm sure Rory Quinn will want to take more out of the education budget next December when we need to have another, is it $3.5 billion taken away. So resourcing for all of this is a huge issue. And I know that the Association of Secondary Teachers of Ireland have been in touch with the Department of Education, with their colleagues in the other unions, and what they're saying is this needs to be properly resourced if it's going to have any chance of success.
Right, okay. Patricia, you know, coming from my standpoint, you know, being an old fogey kind of thing, one of my concerns, particularly about the use of technology and things like that, it's all very well saying we want the children to be independent learners, but what yes. I'm afraid of is there not a greater chance of, we say, plagiarism? You know, going online, cutting and pasting this material for your new e-portfolio?
Yes. Well, that's a possibility. I suppose, you know, on the plus side, you know, look, first, basics, plagiarism is never acceptable, right?
No.
Somebody is learning some sort of skills if they are learning where to go to source material that will provide them with, you know, something that makes them look good.
Yes.
So, in a sense, there's a certain, you know, illegal smartness in all of that. Now, will they be able to do it? Yes, undoubtedly they will. But I suppose, you know, I think that the way the framework is intended to be carried out, there would be a difficulty about, you know, students being able to do that.
Yeah. No, sorry, you know, Patricia, it was just a concern of mine, you know, and you can tell me I'm wrong. You know, you can even call me stupid if you wish. I don't care.
I would never do that.
No,
to anybody.
But as I say, to me, because of the vastness of the material available on the web, and, you know, a student who has... you know, technology smarts, it would be quite easy for them, should they wish to put the effort in, but it would be quite easy for them to access material from other countries and things like that.
Yes. Now, I think the thing is, you see, the positive is if they go and access material that is relevant to the topic that they're looking at, and the it can still remain positive, provided they are honourable enough to acknowledge the source.
Okay.
And, you know, that's what, you know, if you like, you know, people, I'd say, who are doing research will always do. And in fact, you know, if you want to write a good research paper, the more you can show that you have got, you have read widely and you've got lots of sources and you quote and you attribute all your sources, then that is actually good research and good writing. Now, if we encourage young people to do that, then in fact what we're doing is we're enabling them to do what to learn to do what we will need them to do as adults in jobs. So, you know, if the I think that might be, you know, a positive thing in the sense that if the challenge becomes, and I'll just break away here, the teacher sets forth a program and the students do the first element of it. The teacher then assesses their learning. It's not an assessment of learning, it's an assessment for learning, and then discusses with the student and gets the student to evaluate their own learning.
Right.
And then they plan what does the student need to do next in order to learn what they obviously have a weakness in and how are they going to progress. Then a report goes home to the parents. So there is much more involvement of the student assessing their own learning. Now, if that, you know, comes about, if that comes into reality, then you have a student becoming far more thinking about their learning. And so the importance of the final exam, you know, this thing of, you know, will I get good grades at the end, should matter less. And hopefully, you know, adults who are concerned about a young person will not be so, sort of simply saying, you know, well, in 10 weeks' time, you know, you've got a big exam, and if you don't get an A+, the world's going to collapse. Rather, hopefully, people will say, how are you learning? How are you getting on your learning? Are you making good progress? And that could be a very positive thing. But we come back to the fact that it is going to need a large amount of resources. And remember, the number of teachers available to a school has been cut.
Yes.
You know, the pupil-teacher ratio has gone up, which means that there are fewer teachers in the schools when you are focusing more. And, you know, it's easier to teach people or to inform people. You can have, you know, 35, 40, 50 attentive people in a room all listening to one person, and in theory you can say they all went out and learned something. Whereas if you have one person who is facilitating people's learning, to my mind, as well as having group work, you will need that person to go around and integrate and to meet on a one-to-one basis in the classroom while learning is going on, individual learners.
Yes.
Now, if you have huge classes, I don't see that happening too easily.
No. Patricia, I understand everything that you have said. And, you know, I started off saying that these things were merely aspirational, and whether they were actually functional or not, I didn't know. One of the things also is that there is a large number of teachers who are opposed to assessing their own students. That's still one of the elephants in the room.
Yes.
I'm
not sure, Ronnie, how that is going to pan out in the end.
Yeah.
Really not.
No. The thing is, as I say, I understand the reasons why the rationale, because in this day and age of, the litigious society, teachers maybe not at junior cert level, but if we proceed with this type of learning into leaving certificate, then I can see teachers being taken to court because, according to the student, they have been ineffective, and had they been a better teacher, they would have got their A1.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not so sure. Like, if you look around at, you know, the examinations that matter, like the A-levels, like the International Baccalaureate, you know, they are still very much like the Leaving Cert. They haven't been changed.
Yeah.
By the way, the Leaving Cert, you know this thing about, oh, the Leaving Cert, it's all rote learning. Well, it need not be. You know, I think I've said it to you before. What you need to do is to change the type of question you ask, and then you can create a situation where you still have the same kind of examination circumstances that people come in and there is, you know, something that they sit a paper for X number of hours and it is corrected by somebody who doesn't know them, so the system is anonymous and therefore it is something that people can stand over. I very much doubt that if you're going to have to, an examination that matters, that it will be a mirror of the what's going to happen in the junior cert,
right,
where a large number of the subjects will be examined entirely, this is the theory, by the teachers, and then other subjects will have some element where the assessment will be in the school by the teachers, and then others will be externally assessed. Now, whether that is all going to come to pass, Ronnie, I don't know. There are negotiations going on about that very issue as we speak. So,
it's just
watch this space.
Yeah, it's just we have to discuss these things as they present themselves because,
yes,
as I say,
yes,
to me, this stuff is very aspirational and, could be the way forward. But the thing is, it's not set in stone. And if we think there are holes in the fabric, then we need to look at them. Patricia, there's one other thing that I thought. Is the e-learning going online and things like that, is that necessarily going to take away learning by rote? Then what I mean by that is, I know it means students have to be more proactive.
Yeah.
But in their production, particularly in the 60%, that's still going to be there for things like English, Irish and maths and that, does it make a difference?
I think it's all going to come down to how the student has learned in the first place. Like, if you go to Curriculum Online, which is part of the NCCA website, and they now have a very detailed program on English, and they show what will be taught in first, second and third year. Now, there are no prescribed texts anymore. There are suggested texts, but there's no reason why a teacher has to take down any one of those and incorporate it into that particular class's syllabus. But I think it will depend on you know, what the teaching is. And to a large degree, that will depend on the abilities of the student. And I'm not talking about whether somebody can get, you know, an A1 or not. I think that's going to become slightly irrelevant. I'm talking about what supports the student already has in terms of, there are always students who come from homes where there is an emphasis on discussion, on reading, where people are supported, and they have wide access to knowledge of all kinds. And then there are other people who come from homes where there's very little discussion on anything, and there's very little reading, and there's very little support of learning of any kind. And I think the last time we were talking about the junior cert, we talked about this. There isn't, you know, a certainty, particularly with the lack of resources, or the fact that, you know, the department is not assuring us about resources, that you will not create a fairer society in terms of learning opportunities.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the concerns is that schools that have access to more resources would be able to give their young people a far greater, wider, richer education than schools that don't have resources.
Well,
and that it might become more marked than it has even been up to date.
You anticipated my question, Patricia, because you know me well, because I was going to ask, you know, is this new use of technology going to level the playing fields? And as you pointed out, I don't think so. Insofar as you talk about schools having more resources than others, there are invariably students in schools with fewer resources and fewer resources at home. It may help them a little, but it's still not going to close that gap.
Well, I think, you know, to be fair, I think what they have tried to do is, you know, the schools that have been designated as disadvantaged, what are, you know, commonly called the DESH schools, I think they have tried to hold on to the, you know, the resources and not cut them so much there. So that hopefully would level things up a bit. But I think you will, you know, as we're finding at the moment when we look at our, you know, situation in society in general, as we struggle with this recession, that there are people in the middle who are, if you like, too rich to be poor and too poor to be considered well off. And that they really feel the pinch. And I think that that is mirrored in education, where you will find some people who do not have sufficient resources to meet their needs. And, I, you know, as the points I've already made about, you know, the learning supports being withdrawn and yes. other facilities and the lower pupil-teacher ratio, one wonders, because whenever you have change, you need more resources. And I think, Ronnie, one of the interesting things is that if you look at, you know, the structured learning that was commonplace in university 30 years ago, you know, learning how to learn by yourself and so on, that was the universe, that, you know, style of learning at university is now being pushed down into the junior cert.
Right, so okay, yeah.
Somebody need, you know, a young person learning needs to have very strong fundamentals. And it looks great on paper, I have to say. You know, it is a new way of looking at education in Ireland, because they're talking about, you know, potential short courses where that course could be, you know, learning how to write a book or learning about making choices or about personal finance. And they're now saying that school musicals and drama performances can be considered to be a short course, or that somebody could do web design. Now, you know, that sounds great.
If you have the resources.
Yeah. Well, you know, they would say that a lot of schools do have a certain level of the resources already. But, you know, whether the resources that are needed are going to be there is really a big question.
Right. Patricia, I'm afraid we're just out of time this morning. As always, when I'm speaking to you, time flies.
Yes, it does.
But look, I obviously I'm going to come back to you, because there have been other initiatives from various organisations announced recently, and I think we should discuss it. But I think the last thing that, or what our final thought should be for the parents of children who are now entering the junior cert cycle and things like that, don't underestimate the impact that you can have on your child's learning.
Oh, you know, that is so true. And I think, you know, we're talking about, it's not telling, it's not, you know, saying you should, but it's encouraging and being somebody who thinks ahead and so provides an environment which might be, say, for example, you know, popping into a bookshop when you happen to be just in the shopping centre or in town and exploring a bit and finding something that might be interesting, or allowing the young person to go off and look at things, or to find a programme on television and sit down and watch it together and discuss it. You know, to make discussion about things, simple things, you know, it could be, you know, the soap that you're watching or whatever, but encouraging people to find the world an exciting place to be in. You know, that's part of learning. And yes, you're so right. Support from parents is really a wonderful thing.
Okay, Patricia, I do have to leave it there for this morning, but I'm going to be talking to you, I think, quite a few times this year.
I look forward to that, Ronnie.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for today.
Not at all. Bye.